jump in and spend the few minutes we have in reiterating what I'm talking about and likely to talk about tomorrow, because I haven't come to the point yet. I'm coming, I'm trying to carefully share with you and slowly approach it. The problem you have is not food. The problem of cancer isn't cancer. And some you're attacking your problem of food with insulin or other things. That gives you a longer life, so you live longer, wronger. And the longer you live wronger, the more empty you become. And the more you need medicine. And so therefore, the medicine that's being offered to you, you know, is getting more and more expensive. You see that there's only a few of us left who are old and have paid our Social Security over the years. I've paid mine for, I think, 35 or 40 years. So I'm just getting what's proper if I need it. But if you want to go buy insurance right now, you see it's too expensive. You might as well put it in the bank and live a good life the way I teach you, and you won't need. You could just put that money in the bank and save it up, and if a little thing comes along, you can pay for it. But I say to you, if you listen to this program and you listen to what I'm saying, you will have a healthy life. I've been through the hell of medicine. I've been through hell and back. And I see that what you get is impotent, mostly impotent, 9 out of 10 impotent doctors. And it's worse. In the daytime, the impotent doctors, 9 out of 10 from other countries, because our doctors don't want to do business anymore. Because they're smarter than people from other countries. They just want a job. They don't care about you. And they're more likely to let you die. Because I've seen that twice with me. It wasn't my son being there and taking them down and getting the nurse to do something. I'll be dead. Simple. You need to make sure you accompany anybody and stay with them and make sure that, be very astute. Know what your rights are. So no, you should understand these things. You need to go to the buddy system. You go on the web, you'll see the foundation buddy system. Okay, let's see. All right, now, so we're going to take calls in just a few minutes. And take all this time just to take one program, one person calling. I'm grateful for the call. I can talk forever, as long as I know you're listening. I can even talk when nobody's listening. If just one person listens, it's worth it, but I can't afford to stay on the air. That's the difference. I just want one person to call. Let me talk to you.
Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, by Jove, we have Jean. Hello, Jean in Oregon.
Hi, Jean. Hi, Roy.
Hi, Jean. Yes. It's very good.
Concerning food. Now, yes. I've never been a big eater, and I eat pretty sensible.
Yes.
So that's not the problem. But what I find is I'll eat lunch or I'll have a light dinner and I'll be sitting there reading or maybe knitting, and a thought will say, you know, you need a cookie. And I'll, you know, have a few cookies in the house and I'll think, no, I eat too many sweets, I'm not going to eat it. And before long, I'm in there not only eating one, but three or four. And I didn't wrestle with this, but I've been watching it since Christmas.
You're not diabetic, are you?
No. And it's gotten better. I can go down to the grocery store and pass the candy area without being tempted to buy something. But I see the weakness in me,
yes.
And I can't, you know, and there were times when I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to buy any more candy. And that lasts for a while, but before long, either you feel lonely,
yeah.
I live
yeah.
alone, and
yeah.
some weakness comes up and you do it. So I'm watching it and trying not to doubt myself. I mean, I've been meditating.
I want to make this a call-in show, so I won't start with a whole lot of my own stuff. I want to hear your stuff, or your stuffing, what you're stuffing down yourself so you don't have to see it. My son, David, who's doing the answering the phones at the studio, sent me a message. And I want to read it to you, if you don't mind, in the first few minutes. How do people or companies with vested interests spread ignorance and obfuscate knowledge? The BBC in London, England. In 1979, a secret memo from a tobacco industry was revealed to the public, called the Smoking and Health Proposal, and it's written a decade earlier by the Brown and Williamson Tobacco Company, and it revealed many of the tactics employed by the big tobacco counter anti-cigarette forces. In one of the paper's most revealing sections, it looks like how to market cigarette to the masses in public is to doubt our product, since it's the best means of competing with the body of fact that exists in the mind of the general public. Listen to this. They're taking all your doubts and guilt and your uncertainty and sort of learning from it, learning how to keep you in that state so you buy their products, which is addicting, such cigarettes, etc. It is also the means of establishing a controversy. Quote, I was exploring how powerful industries could promote ignorance to sell their wares. Ignorance is power, and ageonology, it's about ageonology, they got new words here, is all about the deliberate creation of ignorance. In looking into ageonology, I discovered the secret world of classified science and thought historians should be giving this more attention. The 1969 memo and the tactics used by the tobacco industry became a perfect example of ageonology. And this person says ignorance is not just yet known, it is also a political ploy, a deliberate creation by powerful agents who want you not to know. That's it, all it says. I thought it was going to say something because this is the first time I was reading it. But what I got from that is they exploit your ignorance. But so does everybody else. Yeah, so, creating ignorance is adding sin to sin, stupidity to stupidity, it's everywhere. So this is nothing new. And I'm going to go about the business of helping people who think they're smart, but should realize how stupid they really are. Stupefied. And that doesn't mean to say I'm being rude or discourteous in some way on my radio show. But the fact should be known that most of you, and yesterday I read that a whole state up north, forget the name of the state, but 82% of the entire population of that state, 82% were on legal drugs, prescription drugs. And guess what the other 18% is doing? Plus a little extra with those who are doing it honestly with prescriptions. So if you expand that into the entire country, it seems to me that we don't have a big chance of surviving. Survival is somewhere inside you with respect to some one thing that animals do not. Perception. A light given to you by God. And you may not know that, but you know in that state, you know what to do without knowing why you know how to do it. And it always works. That is what I want to speak to you today, this evening. 800-866-8883. Call 6 p.m. weekdays to 8 p.m. every night and call me. Okay.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Hello. This is me, 55 years on the air and going strong. I'm looking to 120, if you don't mind. You know, I spend much of my day taking care of my wife. She's getting better, I think. She's really smart. I see something brand new coming up, and she's 84. But I'm still working on her and having faith that she'll see what I see. And not with putting my will on her, because I waited 64 years discussing this in one way or another every day. But she's stubborn, and never mind. I needed to be married. I think not being married for me would be good for my kind. But my kind needs to understand what marriage is all about. So I have 5 kids. And that says something about me, doesn't it? So, but that's how I understood my wife represents the average person, which is decent. But they don't know what's in them. And so that was my program a couple of nights ago, last week sometime. But yesterday I put down my, well, it's not a pen anymore, my computer, put it away. And then today, of course, I couldn't stop and I continued finishing the beginning. I work from, when I'm doing science, I work from what is known to what is unknown. And so what I know about that, there's going to be something to know about behind that too, until I get to the very beginning of the universe. And I spend most of my day finishing that thesis. But somehow in the last 2 days, I just sat in front of the refrigerator, because I'm hungry, but sit in front of the computer again and just started to talk to it through Dragon Speak. So I want to share it with you. And I want to keep it. It has to do with pride going before the fall. That's what came to me. So I will read. I'm reading. To do nice things for people and expect them to love you back with love, which they know nothing about, is dangerously frustrating. Where love is willfully expecting others to love you back in appreciation is a divine folly. People cannot appreciate love in the purest sense, and they cannot help but take advantage without pure gratefulness. Paul, do me a favor. Leave me alone while I'm reading, please. Thank you. All right. That's my producer putting stuff on the front of my nose when I'm reading something. Forgive me. Their thanks to you is just self-gratifying noise. And if you feel temporarily uplifted, you are fooled. Their thank you and appreciation is a word game. Why? Because people don't know what love is. The gift aches and feels like a king or queen without realizing you have become an enabler. See, that's the appreciation of the word game. You just, you're lifted just by a word that's kind to you. See, that gratifies you. So when people, but let me go to this part. Their thank you is an appreciation of a word game. Why? Because people don't know what love is. I did that. Now come back to this. You see, I got disturbed just a little while ago. And so I didn't know where I was going. I should, didn't I? So when people exclaim their love for you and you're grateful, you do not know that language, the language of gratefulness of the mortal, is merely gratification of ego. It knows that you're looking for the words that will lift you and make you think that you're good for giving. The noise of thank you is meaningless for most people. It's like a dog wagging its tail, waiting for the next morsel of pleasure. For the unenlightened, language is a grunts of expression and appreciation. That is to say again, when you hear the appreciation in language, understand the language itself conveys what they think of as love when it is not. There is no enlightenment, just selfish gratification. Saying love is what love is to an animal, which just waits for more, whereby they are not enlightened, but think you of you as a sucker. See, the animal wags its tail. And to just emphasize that point, then I take off now and ad lib a little bit. When the animal wags its tail, it's not really love, is it? Animals haven't got the power to love. They can be loyal, but they can't love. And there's a big, big difference between the two. So, but if you are lifted by the dog, that is not to offend the dog here or anybody who owns the dog, but you have to be very careful when it wags its tail and you feel its kindness towards you for giving it a biscuit. That is dangerous. Very slowly dangerous. And if you have a dog or a cat or a canary, or canaries, or cats. You know, the multiple of them, that makes it even worse. It keeps you busy getting them all to love you and comforting them. So I thought this little opening, which is badly read, I don't like to read anything, not my own words. But that being said, I want to continue on the subject, if you don't mind. Now, let's go to my subject matter here. How do we get to keep our children out of trouble? And with respect to what I was just saying, every melody has a theme and variations of that theme. the what I'm about to sing as a song with refrains over and over again tells of the cause of sickness and disease, divorce and child problems, which is to say, we all want to be right when we're wrong. Bingo. That is the surface of it, but not the guts of it. As we learn to live emotionally from our children, we become dependent upon them and their adoration of us. Or we become dependent on trying to fix what's broken, or that you broke without realizing what it was that broke them. Collapsed it. It would have beat the mainstream media and be believable. And now we sued them and we won. And then they did it again. They betrayed us again. And so it's too late to mess with them, because all hell's going to break loose in 2-3 months. Please understand, I have reason to know what they can't tell you. No, not what we could tell you, but I am just one person. It's too much for me. There are people that can talk, see? There are people in our ranks that are able to get information that we would dare to share and would frighten the left. The left wing is very dangerous. They are basically communists, Marxists. Now, we have an election coming up, and my brain is not working very good tonight. But who's the winner now? Who's in the forefront now, David? David, I'm talking to you. I don't mind the caller. Answer me. Who's in the head? Who's winning right now in the race? No, Donald. Yes, and now, this is the plan. Ted Cruz is just an ordinary person, in my opinion. I'm not going to tell you who to do. He's a brilliant mind. But what they're afraid of, that's what I'm telling you about. What they're really afraid of, is Donald Trump. Now, I'm not saying who you should vote for. I'm saying that's what they're really afraid of. And even the Republican Party are sort of compromised with this. See, so, but the reason why Donald Trump will do it is very evident to the callers, but there's a lot of people in this country. If you look at murder, the execution of presidents, they're all liberals. And if you look very carefully, you'll see that they're ordinary people. Sirhan, I can remember that one, because he never killed. I don't have to write down things down. Who killed Kennedy? That's right. He didn't kill Kennedy. He was programmed. You can do that. Russia has the interest here. See, Russia has an interest, and Russia could easily take a hitman and execute or kill the next president, especially if he's, you know, the man I spoke for just now, Donald Trump. That is the biggest threat of all. and then get on a plane and go back, and you wouldn't be able to catch him. But the other way, the liberals do it. The liberals are murderers. The liberals, which are advanced into psychotics or in their mentality, or they have become, let me say, they would have become Russian Marxists. They would become Marxists. And Marxists know how to program a mind that's weak, it's easy to manipulate, and weave a story into him or her and get him to shoot the president. So you never really catch the people that do it. And they weave into his mind a strange story that he believes is true. So if I was to hypnotize you and say to you, listen carefully, I can do it. I know it's done. I'm an expert on the subject, but I'm an expert in explaining it so you understand the danger in. Okay? So if I say to you, it's easy to put you in a trance, I could do it without you knowing it. But let me say I put you in a trance and I make a show thing out of it. That's what you'd like to make a show. You're not going to do it. You know, just do it for the sake of doing it. It doesn't do any good. You have some kind of demonstration. But let's say I took a person and said, you were in Miami last week, and you went to this theater and that theater, and then you went to this hotel, and then when you walk on the beach, see? And so, wake up. How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Where have you been lately? I missed you last week. Oh, he tells the same story. He actually thinks it's true. And then if you try to convince him otherwise, you cannot. You'll actually argue with him. And if you give him the truth, okay, let's phone up. No, I was there. It's some mistake. I'm telling you, you're dealing with some dangerous people on the left. Bloody bastards. And they know these things, but you don't understand them. That's why I want you to listen to me. Roy Masters didn't help build or be part of. Listen, at one point I was owning 80% of it, the foundation. But it grew so big that the IRS wouldn't let it happen. So they gave the foundation 20% and we had to sell it. You know, I may sell it to the right person. That's all it was. And it blossomed and then collapsed the way I expressed. And so Israel is in need of help now. And it's in need of help in this sense. And I may not have the time to tell you. But Obama has made Iran kosher. You understand that? In other words, it's no longer a threat to anybody because everybody's doing business with it. And that puts Israel in a terrible pickle because their motives are still the same. They are going to take Israel out. Do you understand that? Now, Israel has friends now. This is the Saudis and Egypt and others, Emirates people. I forgot. I don't get the right words there sometimes. I'm getting old. A United Arab. Say it again. Yeah, United Arab Emirates. I got it right. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. I just need a little help because I'm not studied in it. I know about it. I'm not part of it. I'm doing my best I can helping you just to be able to deal with what horror is about to occur. So you legitimized, Obama legitimized and sanctified Iran. That puts Israel's plans to defend themselves because they don't intend to sit on their butt and do nothing. Well, is this our break, David? Yes, all right. So let me just jump in and spend the few minutes we have in reiterating what I'm talking about and likely to talk about tomorrow, because I haven't come to the point yet. I'm coming, I'm trying to carefully share with you and slowly approach it. The problem you have is not food. The problem of cancer isn't cancer. And you're attacking your problem of food with insulin or other things. That gives you a longer life, so you live longer, wronger. And the longer you live wronger, the more empty you become. And the more you need medicine. And so therefore, that medicine that being offered to you, you know, is getting more and more expensive. You see that there's only a few of us left who are old and have paid our Social Security over the years. I've paid mine for, I think, 35 or 40 years. So I'm just getting what's proper if I need it. But if you want to go buy insurance right now, you see it's too expensive. You might as well put it in the bank and live a good life the way I teach you, and you won't need. You could just put that money in the bank and save it up, and if a little thing comes along, you can pay for it. But I say to you, if you listen to this program and you listen to what I'm saying, you will have a healthy life. I've been through the hell of medicine. I've been through hell and back. And I see that what you get is impotent, mostly impotent. 9 out of 10 impotent doctors. And it's worse. In the daytime, the impotent doctors, 9 out of 10 from other countries, because our doctors don't want to do business anymore. Because they're smarter than people from other countries. They just want a job. They don't care about you. And they're more likely to let you die. Because I've seen that twice with me. It wasn't my son being there and taking them down and getting the nurse to do something. I'll be dead. Simple. You need to make sure you accompany anybody and stay with them and make sure that, be very astute. Know what your rights are. So no, you should understand these things. You need to go to the buddy system. You go on the web, you'll see the foundation buddy system. Okay, that's it. All right, now, so we're going to take calls in just a few minutes. It'll take all this time just to take one program, one person calling. Well, I'm grateful for the call. I can talk forever, as long as I know you're listening. I can even talk when nobody's listening. If just one person listens, it's worth it, but I can't afford to stay on the air. That's the difference. I just want one person to call. Let me talk to you.
With Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, by Jove, we have Jean. Hello, Jean in Oregon.
Hi, Jean. Hi, Roy.
Hi, Jean. Yes. It's very good.
Concerning food. Now, yes. I've never been a big eater, and I eat pretty sensible.
Yes.
So that's not the problem. But what I find is I'll eat lunch or I'll have a light dinner and I'll be sitting there reading or maybe knitting, and a thought will say, you know, you need a cookie. And I'll, you know, have a few cookies in the house and I'll think, no, I eat too many sweets. I'm not going to eat it. And before long, I'm in there not only eating one, but three or four. And I didn't wrestle with this, but I've been watching it since Christmas.
You're not diabetic, are you? You're not diabetic, are you?
No, no. And it's gotten better. I can go down to the grocery store and pass the candy area without being tempted to buy something. But I see the weakness in me,
yes.
And I can't, you know, and there were times when I would just wouldn't do it. I'm not going to buy any more candy. And that lasts for a while, but before long, either you feel lonely,
yeah.
I live
yeah.
alone,
yeah.
and some weakness comes up and you,
yes.
you do it. So I'm watching it and trying not to doubt myself. I mean, I've been meditating for years. I should be walking on water by now. And the other thing I've seen since I've gone through this eating thing, and all of a sudden in wintertime when you're in the house a lot and the heater's on and there's dust or whatever, I've developed an allergy to dust. And so I went to the doctor, but he wants to put me on some medicine that's bad for your kidneys, and I only have one kidney, so I refuse to take it.
That's not a good idea.
So now,
well, why do you have one kidney? That's very telling.
Well,
what brought you that?
The tube that, it wasn't a disease. The tube that leaves your kidney and goes to your bladder got a kink in it for some reason after my last child was born, and for years it was almost closed shut. So the urine that was in that kidney just kept expanding the kidney till it was just blood.
So you couldn't drill that out. Like in
no.
a man, you can't do
and
that.
And, you know, and like you, I've had two close-to-death experiences, and they were doctors' faults.
Yes.
So I don't have, I mean, I look at a doctor now, and I realize they really don't know very much. They know
they
what they read
they
in the book,
no,
but they don't understand the body, and they don't. And my doctor tells me, you know, I'm funny, because I'll come in and tell him what's going
on. But you know something, the reason they think of the symptom as the cause, which is very dangerous, and it's a big business to see the symptom as the cause,
right.
Sort of on its own, you know.
But you know, I find that my doctor, I've realized recently that he gets intimidated by me because I will discuss what's going on in my body, what I think it is, you know, and I go to him. I respect that he has the ability and the knowledge of a doctor, and so I go, not for the medicine. I want you to tell me why my body's doing what it's doing or
well,
what
you,
I...
you need to come to this forum for that.
Yes, I know.
This is the place you to do that.
I know, and now I'm just going to, you know, suffer with my allergy.
Listen, very simple. Nice and simple. When you meditate, you've got to consider this. What are your options? Because a little temptation grows into a big one.
Right.
And you cannot stop it. So thank God it's little. Thank God it's little. And look at it. And if you look at it in that light, because there is something beyond this life is short, as you've heard me say. It's very short. Even I'm 88, it just went away, just like that, it's gone.
I'm 77.
So I'm still strong, don't worry. I could still box your ears or something if I have to. No, but the point is, I see that this life is not for us, it's not about us. It's about our love for him who created the universe, and he's saying to every sensible person, look what I've created. Do you know an artist does not paint for himself?
Right.
He paints for other than himself.
Unless
correct?
He's egotistical.
That's right. But he paints for others, other than himself, and he gives pleasure and to other people in, you know, maybe in a wrong way, but see, I don't care about art. I think it's nice. And I don't go to art places. I don't ever go. I think it's just nice, it's interesting, but it's not as beautiful as the art of creation I see all around me.
But, you know, I've lived alone for 16 years, been meditating since you were on Western Avenue.
Oh, my goodness me,
and
that's the beginning.
And my life has changed. I mean, I see my relationship with my children is better. I don't cling to them. And anyway, I know I'm on the right path. But
you
at
are.
The same time,
I see it, yes.
There's something in me that is still there. It plays on making my body hurt so that I get obsessed with my body rather than, you know.
There it is. That's it.
And
now,
then I doubt myself.
It is a system of degradations. It's a system. It's the emotion of being frustrated and trying to figure it yourself.
Right.
And not, so
well,
look.
And not only that, it makes me think, well, you haven't gotten anywhere because, look, you don't trust God.
No, that is not you talking. It's your
other
self.
Yeah, I know that, but it never, you know, I get the times when a sentence will come in my mind or a word and it's not, it's said to me. And so I know that that's not me.
I like the way you said that. I like the way you said it.
But
the, what is said
thoughts,
to you, what is said to you, you step back and look at it.
Right.
Please,
years ago, when I started meditating and I was, well, let me give you one other little thing. When my first child was born, I was bathing her and something said, you know, it'd be really easy to put your hands around her throat and kill her.
Not unusual.
I got so frightened by that, and I went into kind of a depression. They tried to tell me it was postpartum depression, but no, it wasn't.
They got fancy names for stuff like that.
Yeah, it was evil, and I dealt with it, and I watched it, and one day, hanging clothes, a voice said to me, if you let me, I'll help you, and I knew that voice wasn't right, because God doesn't talk to me by voice. And so it's been a long journey, but I'm still not like you. I wish with all my heart I could be like you, to know God the way you do.
Well, how old are you?
77.
Well, how'd you like to live to 100?
I would love it. But
the thing is, why you want to live to 100 is to... Because all the problems you've ever had in your life, which you're telling me are very serious, whether you have been possessed. That's possession.
Yeah,
you're a nice, you're a wonderful lady, but you're still missing something, and it's still there, tormenting you and getting you upset about things. And when you get upset with what the word spoke to you about, the word is in you, but it's not the word of God, it's the word of the world, the spirit.
Right,
of,
and it uses
spirit.
My voice.
It uses your voice, exactly.
Right.
So you
know,
are
when
not...
My mind
a,
is...
Yeah,
when
but
my
you're not as far
is,
as you think you are. I know this is a call about craving sweets, but it's now more than that.
Right, I know that.
I'm glad you called, though.
I'm not as far as I was a long time ago, but...
You're in Oregon. Why don't you come and visit me at the ranch?
I was going to come to your the seminar before you left.
No, it's not. I don't have a seminar all day, but we have lunch. It's free. There's no charge for anything. A donation, that's all it takes if you want to. But
I
spend 2 hours.
I know,
No, let me say it. You need, if you're in Oregon, you can't be too far from me. You need to come and spend the night. Perhaps if it's a little bit far, because we have a beautiful place. It's like 200 acres, and it's a beautiful place, and
The thing is, I can't drive because I only have vision.
Someone drive you.
Yeah, I've been trying.
You come over. I will deal. Listen, you're near me. I can't do this on the radio.
Right.
I can sense that. I can sense that you have that thing, and I can take, when I say I, it's terrible when I say I.
I know what you mean.
You know.
You don't have to.
But I have to use the word I. The I or the me in me mm-hmm. can neutralize that. There's the magic. There is the metaphysical magic. The magic of evil juxtaposed against the magic of good. And so if you will come to me, not stand back, because sit back, you've done fairly well, but you really haven't done what needs to be done. You cannot go to your grave with that thing in there.
No, because when I first started to meditate, I lived for a year with the spirit in me. I mean, everything was so easy, but it wasn't me doing it. And then,
you fell back. Then you must have fallen back.
Well, one day walking, taking the kids to the park, all of a sudden it left me, and I knew it left me. And I thought,
what was the situation? Tell me what the situation. It's very important. Tell me what the situation is.
Well, I just was walking the kids down the street to the local park. We used to go there every day, and while I was walking, I just felt it leave me, and I felt bad. And then I thought, well, I guess I have to make this on my own now. And you know, I didn't know that the spirit should be with you all the time.
It should be, of course.
And of course, then I was living with the wrong kind of husband.
Oh, there you go. There's your sin. There's all your sins. There's the sins. Hostility, yeah. Anger, frustration with him.
Hold it.
Because that is where you get the feeling, the frustration of your husband, whatever that was. We won't go into that because we don't have time right now.
Yeah.
But the fact that the thought came to you that you could put your hands around the child's neck and squeeze.
Okay, let me just tell you one thing more. Now, I don't experience anger or resentment with people. I do really fine. But when I go to bed at night, I have more dreams and frustration, and I don't know where all that comes from. But
it's all coming to the surface that should be coming to the surface in the daytime. So hold the line. 800-866-8883. We're going to continue food tomorrow. There's much more to food than meets the eye, but I couldn't help now. Take notice of a new caller. Well, Jean.
Yeah.
You could almost be called Jeannie, because that's what you got inside you right now.
A little Jeannie, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, I noticed that, because at night when I turn the lights out in the living room and I'm walking toward my bedroom, I get this horrible, scary feeling that there's something right behind me.
Okay, now,
and
listen.
I just watch it, but now, listen, I react with some fear.
You tend to talk too much.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You tend to give me more information than I need, because I can hear what you're saying, and I'm glad you said it. But if you keep on chattering after that, it robs me of the ability to help you.
Okay.
And I'm suggesting, with all due respect, I'm suggesting that since you're so close, where do you live, roughly?
In Florence, Oregon.
It's about
a 2.5-hour drive, I think. I've been to your ranch at one time many years ago.
I know, but we're doing our programs at the ranch now, at the ranch. And 2 hours with me will fix that. And it costs you nothing, except if you want to stay there, it's just bread and breakfast. That's what we got.
Are you talking about the Sunday
morning?
Yeah.
That Sunday morning conversation.
Yeah.
You should, when this one comes out, the first two people sitting on the front row got it for me, and they're getting better quickly. So I do recommend, since you're so close, that you spend a night or something with a friend. Have your friend drive you down, because you can't go on like this. I can do something for you you can't do for yourself.
Okay. Honestly,
I'm not a magician. I'm not the kind of person who says I could help you. Because no one can help you but God. See, Salvation awaits you. But I have the gift of verifying what that is. You already have it. I don't have to give it to you. I only have to awaken you from what's keeping you from seeing the truth that will set you free.
Yeah, you need to get that thing.
Do you feel it in you now moving?
No.
But don't feel anything?
No.
Okay. It's when you're alone, right?
I mean, I had an exorcism once.
Yeah, but it might have been, but maybe there's another. There's sometimes two or three, and maybe several more. Okay, thank you very much. Listen.
You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Hi, Gene. Listen, I want you to meditate with do you have the 7-minute meditation? You can download it from your... Do you have a download? Let's download that from the website. Oh, Jean is gone. All right. Oh, is she? Yeah. Listen to what I wrote. It will take about 5 minutes to read it. And if you want to get a copy of it, I'll make sure you can, because it's the only one I have left. But we used to give this one out. The meditation is regeneration. The transformation by the renewal of your mind from within. Meditation is a very, very simple process, too simple for words. Meditation should be and remain simple, never becoming more complex, or where do you end? In fact, there is so little to do that our ego may find it difficult or perhaps unacceptable because of its simplicity. What use is this if it's so simple? What you need is another boss. You got a choice of bosses. And the one you got is the kind of one that our Jean has in her. See, so the results of the meditation are so profound that we tend to interrupt the process and spoil everything by trying to explain or analyze how it works. Nobody will ever know how it works. God knoweth what you need before you ask. That's not here. But what should we do as a result of the meditation is to observe, wonder, and simply begin to believe the marvelous world of effects taking shape before your very eyes. Problems fall away by themselves, and good things just happen, and everything falls into place without scheming and planning. That might be disturbing to a lot of people who like to scheme and plan and feel powerful and get a lift from that, a lift away from what's real. That's what I say. So it is most humiliating to our pride, which is used to huffing and puffing and making things work that backfire and giving, open quotes, good, close quotes, reasons for everything they're ever wrong with their lives. Their lives are just full of nonsense. Excuses, excuses, and excuses on top of excuses until it becomes a way of thinking. and never see anything. Just waste away dying of different kinds of diseases coming from this. In fact, our mind becomes so empty of worry and planning, we have really virtually nothing to do except to understand more, appreciate more, wonder more, see more clearly more, and avoid the problems which makes things easier so that we worry less. And we worry less we have more faith. In other words, the driving force is within us, see? So, worry once substitute for the natural concern we never had. That's what we're talking about. So, that's substitutes for it, see? So, we worry over our children, and they see our worrying us, and they see the worry as them, as you not trusting them. And you'd be surprised how they see that. And you'd be surprised why you don't notice it. So, we just had to worry to ennoble ourselves. Worry seems like noble, doesn't it? It isn't. It once seemed to be quite normal to worry. But worry is really compulsive, something or other, because it stops there. I don't know where to find the rest of this paper. This is 50, 60 years old. I thought you enjoyed that in value. Now, if you listen to me, I'm not an intellectual. I don't read books. I write them. I write what I see. I do what I'm told. Well, it's like, you know, he's my boss. See, you have choice of bosses. I'm going to ask you, do you have a will? You say, yes, I do. You know, what would you be without it, you think? You're better off without the one you got. If you ask me, do I have a will? I says, yes, but it has me. And if I were you, look at the one that has you. Hello? Look at the one that has you. There's a nice lady. And if she doesn't complete the circuit, which is required, but not forced, but to have it, have a longing, because there's two kinds of longing, the longing for the world and the longing of him who created the world. See the difference to that. So, you're a creature that's created, and it's not about you. But in a sense, it is. Is it because what you are going to be? Which you are you going to be? Are you going to be of the world and live in the world and of the world? Or are you going to be different? To stand out from the cruelty and craziness of the world that they can't see, but the minute you start to be bright, you become Jesus-like. When you become Jesus-like, it's like a shining. And it's like a message coming through space. And as much as they want to destroy you and hurt you, you'll see they can't hurt you. Trials and tribulations, yes, can be painful, but enduring. Enduring with what? Patience, endurance. In other words, to be persecuted and spat at for righteousness' sake is the way. And after a while, you become strong in your Creator, and they become weaker, trying to get inside you, whereby the good in you is inside them, slowly and gently, getting them towards the better side of themselves, like you. Here we are. Here we go. Would you like to take this down, please? Take a pencil or pen and write Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97526. 28, beg your pardon. That's right. And then if you want to write, call my office. It's 877-3227, business hours, West Coast time. 8 o'clock in the morning to 5. If they come in late, it's happened sometimes. That's it. Thank you very much. God bless you. Support the program.